might just say that Dana's and Sam's and Levon's are over there right now. They may be back before the service is over. We're not sure yet. So,
thank you, brother. Yes. Good evening. I trust each one of you are blessed this evening. I didn't know this Betty at all. I doubt I have ever met her. But from what our brother shared, she was a child of God. I'm going to deviate just briefly. Read a verse in Revelation that has meant a lot to me. In thinking of that day when you or I, where Betty is at today, right? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do you believe that to be true this evening? I do. I believe that to be very true. And while we sorrow the passing of a loved one, when they're saved, we really have nothing to sorrow about. You've already commented that you believe that to be true this evening. The title of the message this evening is, What is Truth? What is truth? You know, in a day and age, before I get started, I'd like to make a special welcome to a couple families that followed me up here tonight, that from our congregation that I appreciate very much, Brother Todd and Sister Rita Pratt back here, center, and Brother Reuben and Sister Miriam and their family from our church. So thank you for coming. I told Dana before the service that's one of the things that you get when you ask a pastor that's fairly local to come. You get part of their church from time to time. So. Thank you very much for coming tonight and being here this evening with us. But in a day and age today where there's very little absolute truth, right? And I want you to be honest, but I want to ask you this evening, do you believe that there are still absolute truths? There's absolute truth to the point that and this is the message I just preached about a week and a half ago at our church that I felt led to share with you this evening. Absolute truth to the point that not everything is situational. Surely it would depend upon the situation. I was recently told by a brother that whether it's true or not, I don't know. It doesn't surprise me, but I have no reason to doubt him. He said that in the state of California, they are trying to outlaw mathematics as we know them because it's exclusive. Now, if math isn't true, what can be true, right? They're trying to outlaw them because surely there must be a place for those that do their best but still don't get the answers correctly. Can't they be right too? Can't they be right too? Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that the church is going down the same path many times. That everyone's right. Can't they be right too? You know, I shared a little bit last evening on the subject of revival. And I was blessed. By the way, this young brother here leading the songs, he's doing an amazing job. I've appreciated the songs song choices, so thank you for that. But I was a little nervous because I went a little bit over last night, and I could tell one of the telltale signs that if you go over your first night is if the song leader only has two selections the next night. He had three. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He had all three. I am going to try to keep it within my allotted time this evening, because I'd like to keep singing three songs at the beginning. No, not really. But truth. What is truth? And let's just be real. Has there been a time in your life? Has there been a time in your life that it's not that you're being malicious? It's not that you're being disobedient. You just simply don't know where to turn for truth. Have you been there? I have. So we've already established, or we're going to establish, does absolute truth still exist? How do we decipher truth among all the garbage that is out there today at just the click of a button or the move of a mouse? You can see and you can digest anything that you want to, and many times things that you don't want to. How do you decipher truth among all the garbage? It sometimes feels like digging through your garbage can, trying to find something clean to cling to. There's garbage all around. Well, we can ask ourselves another question this evening. What priority does God's Word have in your life? So what I was about to say, I shared last evening on revival, and I referenced the authority of God's Word in our lives several times. But I would like to look at that more in depth this evening. On what priority does God's Word hold in your life? Do you view it as the absolute truth? I tend to have an avid imagination, many times of which I'm grateful for. But just imagine with me, I don't know how it all happened. The Bible doesn't give a lot of details. So just imagine with me this evening, okay? Imagine with me that all is well in heaven, right? Before you or I were here, or our parents or our grandparents, or really anyone was here. All was well in heaven, and praise was being given to God as praise should be being given to God. And somehow, somewhere, Satan or Lucifer, a root of pride sprung up in his heart. And he said, or he thought, or had a desire to be like God, right? Because God cannot, it's not in him at all to be around sin, there had to be a separation. There had to be a separation. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today, that has never changed with God Almighty. If you think that you have sin in your heart, or if you know that you have sin in your heart, and you are regarding that sin, and you expect to stay in the presence of God, you're foolish. I'm foolish. There has to be a separation between sin and God. There was that time. And Satan and all of his followers, or all of his angels, were cast out of heaven. Now, this is the part, so far you haven't needed to use your imagination. This is the part where I started imagining, you know, when Satan got cast out, he's a spirit, right? So use your imagination. But when he got cast out of heaven, I don't know where he fell. I don't know what he fell on. I don't know if he fell on his back, his head, his side. But just imagine, kerplunk, he hits the ground, right? He gets up. and he dusts himself off. He looks at his followers. He looks at his angels who were cast out with him. He looks at his followers. Is it possible that he could have said, when we go to God's creation or to mankind and tell them, do not follow God's plan, they won't hear us. Let's just make God's plan complicated and they'll do the rest. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Salvation is so simple. And yet it seems so complicated sometimes. What is truth? Satan never comes to us and shakes us awake in the morning and says, Mark, go kill your neighbor. That's never happened to me. Has it happened to you? But what happens is he muddies the water, right? He makes it complicated. I talked a little bit about that last night in when family falls into sin. It gets complicated. Or when someone near to us is in sin, it gets complicated. And that's when we start saying, you know, what did the serpent tell Eve in the garden? Hath God said? Hath God said? The same thing can happen to us. Did God really mean? It gets complicated. I am here this evening to do my very best to simplify God's plan. Because I believe that it's a simple plan. I believe that it's a simple plan. I don't believe that it's as complicated as what we've made it to believe. What we've made it out to be. You know, as I was studying today, I realized that I committed I committed something that pastors are kind of known to do last evening. I started a story and I didn't finish it. I started a story. I got sidetracked and I didn't finish it. Do y'all remember the story about a man that came to church and he was divorced and remarried 3 times? Remember that story? I stopped at the place where I said that he went to another church because he could not worship where people felt that he was living in sin. Notice his choice of words. He couldn't worship where people felt, right, that he was living in sin. It is with great sadness to tell you that the following years of that man. You remember how I said before that was revealed to him, he was vibrant, he was searching after Christ, right? You remember me saying that? He lives several blocks from me there in Butler. And there has been a steady decline in his spiritual well-being. To the point that he blames it on this, he blames it on those grandchildren that he was taking care of. They're not doing what he wants them. You know, they're not following after the Lord, and that must be what it is. But to the point that he has such a weight upon him, he doesn't know what to do. What's that weight called? It's called sin. It's called sin. The weight of sin is a horrible taskmaster. When the word of Jesus is preached or is expounded, or when we read it, you know, God's word is not complicated. How many of you have found a life-changing truth straight from God's word? How many of you have? Raise your hand if you have. All of us, right? If you read God's word, you're finding truth. And yet sometimes it still feels so complicated. Brothers and sisters, that was Satan's plan. It's not by accident. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 18. I can say this freely because there's benches and you all are down below them. But this is just free. This is not what the message is about tonight, right? Can I just give a free nugget, right? When I said turn to your Bibles to John 18, I think there's something we need to be careful of in today's society. And that's losing this book. Not this tablet or this phone, right? But this book. Let me give you a couple of reasons really quick why. This is completely free. This is a concern that Mark has, okay? It's important to me that my children know which comes first, Genesis or Revelation. And when you just type it in, you still know, but your children won't. It's just some things to think about. The other thing, maybe you have settings on your phone that I don't on mine. But when I use technology to study the Word of God or use it as my Bible, I can still tell if I get an email or a text message. I just think we need to be careful sometimes of Satan using maybe a good thing as a distraction to distract our minds. Like I said, that was not my message this evening. That was just completely free. It's some concerns that I have just about present day culture. And to the young people, I promise I'm only 38. I know I just sounded like a 70-year-old there, but I am really only 38. 38-year-olds still sometimes have some of those same concerns. Amen. In John chapter 18, we want to look at verses 31 through 40. And if you will, we will once again stand for the reading of God's word, at least the text here. In John chapter 18, starting in verse 31, we know the story well. We know it well, but let's take some time to look at it here. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him, and of course he's talking about Jesus, right? Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? The title of the message this evening, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the freedom to look at your word. Thank you for the freedom to expound on your word. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that resides in each one of us that are saved. Not everyone that says they're saved, but every one of us, Lord, that has truly repented of our sins. And our lives are changed and your Spirit resides within us. Thank you for that gift. Lord, I pray against any tactics that Satan would have in store for this evening. Lord, would you cast him from this building and any powers that he might have here, Lord. Cast him from this building. Guard us here tonight, Lord. Guard us as we leave. We recognize greater are you that is in us than he that is in the world. We claim to that this evening, Lord. Guard over each heart here, Lord. Guard over each marriage. Guard over each mind that we could concentrate this evening as we look at your word. We love you, God. It is a privilege to be called your child. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As we look here, Pilate is confused. I don't believe that Pilate is according to what the Bible says here, I don't believe that Pilate is a malicious man or a man that has something out to prove against Jesus. I don't think that he even had an encounter with Jesus before. It's not that he's holding a grudge. It's not because of unforgiveness in his life that now I have Jesus in my power to do with as I please. I believe that Pilate was genuinely confused. I believe that as I look here, and I like to start in verse 31, the very beginning of confusion in Pilate's mind. Maybe not the very beginning, but he certainly expounded upon it here, right? Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law, right? What spoke to me as I read that and have reread that and read that again is how many times do we find that happening in our lives where God's law is here, but there's another law here, and we're somehow trying to get both of those laws to coexist in my life. There must be a way to bring both of those laws or both of those standards together that I can live for God, but somehow I can still be a friend of the world, right? I don't want to offend. I don't want to offend. Yes, I want to speak the truth. I want to tell people the things that I've learned here, right? I want to share with people the truth, but I don't want to be offensive. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that when we share the truth, it's going to be offensive. So be okay with being offensive. We were not put here to be the world's buddy. We were put here to share with them the truth. That's my job. I've often said I would rather upset someone here on earth and tell them the truth than to keep quiet and those people burn in hell forever and ever. I'm not talking about an abrasive spirit that you go around and you're unkind, or the Bible says how we're supposed to speak the truth. How is it? Speak the truth in love. But brothers and sisters, the gospel has gotten so lopsided today that all we talk about is love. And you know what? God is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment and of wrath. He's a God that hates sin. He's a God that cannot tolerate sin. As I shared last evening, if you have sin that you've been sweeping under the rug, God can see under the rug. He knows that you're regarding iniquity in your heart. And iniquity has to be under the blood of Jesus. So that when he looks at my life, he doesn't see the iniquity, which has to be separated from him. But he sees the blood of Jesus, his only begotten Son, who died to take that iniquity away. There are not two ways to heaven. There are not two laws. There are not two roads. There's one way to heaven and one way alone. And this is the roadmap. Do you believe, do you truly in your heart believe that if you obey every word in the Bible, you will be in heaven one day? Do you believe that? I would like a response. Do you believe, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. Do you believe that if you follow every word in here, that this is a trustworthy, this is a truthful roadmap, that you will spend eternity in heaven one day? I believe that. I believe that. But I also believe that if I omit things from here and I pick and choose what I want to obey, I also believe that I have zero chance of getting to that destination because I'm not living the full gospel. It's a half truth, or it's a quarter truth, or it's a three quarter truth. Brothers and sisters, I don't want a three-quarter truth. I want to know. Good, bad, ugly, right? I want to know the truth. It's hard for me to speak on these things without getting into my personal testimony, right? But I'm doing my best to save that for another night. But I haven't always been that way. And you know what? God has to purify my heart, because sometimes I'm not always that way now. Right? I need the Holy Spirit. But there is one way. Take ye him and judge him according to your law, Tom, right? That'll be fine. And Howard, then you have a law over here. You take him and judge him according to your law. No, it's God's law. It's God's law. I've had people tell me, well, you know what? I don't really agree with that. You know what I believe? I believe 100%. I believe God doesn't care if I agree with it or not. I believe that that's not one of God's concerns. Now, does Mark agree with that or not? I don't think God cares. Because in his love, he knew what was best for me. In his love, he gave me this, that I can be saved, that I can find him, that I can have communion with him. It's the only way. It's the only way. Read every word and obey every word. You know, many times we sit in these pews and we're content with just being convicted. Wow, that was a convicting message. Wow, that was a convicting passage. Brothers and sisters, it takes more than just being convicted about stuff. It takes action. It takes obedience. I believe there's going to be a lot of convicted people that are cast into the lake of fire one day because they never acted upon their conviction. Conviction is not salvation. Repentance is salvation. Repentance. You must repent. I don't care how much you know about the Bible. I don't care how much you know about the Bible. If you don't obey it, your knowledge is fruitless. Your conviction is fruitless. We need more people that are obedient. We don't need more people that just have a head knowledge about what it says here. The Bible must be followed. So there's this law of judge him according to your law. And then Jesus introduces a few verses later his law, right? Once again, I'm going to be brief on this because I plan to have this as another message. But Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. It's a different way. It's the only way. It's God's way. I really need to keep moving here. But I'd like to impress upon us, when we give a listening ear to the world's way, it will always end in confusion. You know, we think many times, we think that we're stronger. Have you all gotten a sense that today's generation thinks they have maybe more answers than the last one did? And on, right? I get that feeling. There was a time in my life that I thought that. I oftentimes say, God has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? I oftentimes say, you know, I was ordained as a deacon when I was 28. And my testimony is, I had a lot of answers as a young man. And then I was ordained and somehow I lost them all. And I was left with questions. We think we know. We think we know. We think we're strong enough. I can give a listening ear to the world's music. I can give a listening ear or a watching eye to the world's movies. When throughout all of that in today's society is pumped homosexuality and swearing against the name of the Jesus that I say has saved me. And what happens? The walls continue to break down and break down and break down. You know, sometimes it feels like we're content just being 15 steps behind the world, right? As long as we're not at where the world is, we must be okay. You know what that means? That means that we're following after the world's law, the world's way. You know what it also means? It means we will drop off into hellfire 15 steps after they do. We're going the same place. We're going the same place. The Bible teaches me that when we become born again, we turn around. We're walking with the world, right? We become born again and my sins are washed away, not covered, but they're washed away as far as the east is from the west. I'm a brand new man. Amen? I'm a brand new man. The Bible teaches me that I stop in my tracks. And I start walking a different direction. I don't walk parallel. I don't follow at a distance. I walk a different way. You know that song? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My Bible teaches me that when I become born again, this world no longer feels like home. My Bible teaches me that I feel like a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth. The Bible teaches me that I don't accumulate. My Bible teaches me that I don't put down roots. But I live here in expectancy that any day I'm going to fly. Any day I could be there where Betty is this evening. Amen. And I'm ready to go. That's exciting to me. And you know what? There are religions out there that teach you bow down to a lifeless God. There are religions out there that teach that you can't know. You can't know if you're truly saved. God's word is always true. And this teaches me that you can know if you're born again. This teaches me that you can be right with an almighty God. But there's only one way, and that's the blood of Jesus has to be applied. We cannot give a listening ear to the world, a sympathetic ear to the world, and expect to live this life and not be confused. We will be confused. I referenced this last night. It's time to choose. It's time to choose which way you're going to follow. You can't follow them both. You can't do it. I've given an illustration before. Maybe I should have tonight. I'll just explain it. Where I have three young people come up, right? One over here, one over there, and one in the middle. One exemplifies God. The other is Satan. And this one is a Christian, right? And I tell that young person, now I want you to focus on both of those people at the very same time. And I have those people do goofy actions or And I say, imitate them both at the same time. They say, well, it's impossible. And they're right. You know, it's just as impossible to follow after the law of the world and the law of Jesus. You must choose. The Bible gives us all kind of scriptures. The Bible is full of scriptures for the purpose of His Word. I beg you, don't complicate salvation. It's not complicated. It's one of the simplest. It's one of the simplest plans or roads that I've ever been on. Let's never confuse simple and easy. Just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's easy. Sometimes we have to fight. Many times we have to fight. We have to fight for our life. It's hard. It's painful. Full disclosure, I had one of those evenings last night after I left here. There was a spiritual battle going on. It wasn't easy. I didn't change God's word. God's word is always true. It's always true. When Jesus shared his truth, I sense the frustration in Pilate when he says, what even is truth? You're talking about truth. And here Pilate is going back and forth between two different ways. What is truth? You know what? It's simple. The Bible, God's word, his life, or his plan for my life. It's not complicated. Just because we don't always know doesn't mean that it's complicated. It's actually very, very simple. What did he tell the disciples? Did he say, hey, as soon as you get life all figured out, then and come and follow me? No, he just said, stop what you're doing and follow after me. Just stop what you're doing and follow after me. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't grow in the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are come such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word, and in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But for strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even for who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We are to grow in the Lord. But it's still not complicated. It means you will grow if you follow after Jesus and if you obey His word. Let me ask you a serious question, brothers and sisters. Because it's a problem in today's society with the rat race. You know, have you ever watched some little hamsters or guinea pigs or whatever they are in their cage, and they have them around things, and they just run until you think they're just going to die? You know, many times I think that's what we look like today. We just run. We're busy, but it's fruitless exercise that's not going to gain us one thing in the kingdom of God. It's fruitless exercise. I'm talking about being busy in God's word. You know, in all our busyness, what gets neglected? Be real with yourself. Be real with yourself. If you get up late in the morning, are you going to be late for work? Or are you going to sacrifice time in God's word? Be real with yourself. I remember hearing a story of a man named Keith Daniels. And he took his time in the Word so seriously. So seriously. His time in the Word and also his time praying. His time with the Lord, I'm going to say. He took his time with the Lord so seriously that if one of his little children would come up, hey, Daddy, he would rebuke them and say, can't you tell I'm talking to God? Don't ever interrupt Daddy when he's talking to God. What does it say in Matthew 5? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you want to be filled tonight? It's not a magical wand. It's not something I can give you. It's not something your spouse can give you. But you will find a filling in here. You will be full. You know, I can remember when there was a void in my heart, right? It's been filled. It's been filled by Jesus Christ. I'm going to rapidly. I looked up a whole bunch of scriptures. There's 18 pages right here. 18 out of 44 that I found that talk about God's word. And I want you, don't turn to them, just listen, right? Because I'm just going to rapidly read down through here as rapidly as I can. But listen to the words for the use of God's word in our lives. If we will only read it or ingest it. If we will only sit at his table. He has this beautiful feast prepared for us each and every day. And many times we sacrifice that balanced meal for the junk food of this world. And then we wonder why we're not healthy. Why we're weak. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, that we can understand what he's given us. A sound mind. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and teach in Israel statutes and judgments. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness in mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I just realized I stopped reading the references. I think that's important. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Is the word of God working in you? Is it being manifested? Psalm 119:15-16. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving who? Our own selves. God's not deceived. We are. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 2 Peter 3:16. as also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. I have to stop, but the last one I would like to read, if I can find it here. You want to stop being confused in life? In Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Brothers and sisters, how many of us go outside with a flashlight in the pitch night and we just refuse to turn it on? That's stupidity, isn't it? How many of us are walking through life trying to find our own way, but we're not shining the light? We're stumbling around in darkness and we wonder why the same pitfall continues to stumble me up. Why is it that I continue? Why is it that I can't have victory? Why is it that I just continue to fall and to fall and to fall and to fall? Is the word of God true? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Brothers and sisters, all we have to do, now make it sound so easy, right? We just have to turn the light on. Turn the light on. God promises you turn the light on, you can see. I meant what I said when it's not a magic wand. It's not anything complicated. It takes a life that is just sold out for Jesus, that wants more of him. What priority does God's word have in your life? Would you die for it? Can what I'm talking about, can it really just be as simple? Can life really just be as simple as the Bible is true? And if I follow it, I'm being obedient to God? Can it really be that simple? I believe it is. I believe it's just that simple. But you know what, brothers and sisters? We have to know what it says in order to obey it. And how do you know what it says? How can you know what it says? You have to spend time there. You have to spend time in His Word. Many times we desire the leeks and the garlics. We desire the leeks and the garlics of Egypt, when God is standing right in front of us, offering us His holy manna. My encouragement to you in closing this evening is obey God's word. Read God's word. We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. And my desire is, if you have not already committed in your heart to God, that Lord, whatever you say in your word, I will do it. If you are not spending time in God's word and you mean business with God, that you're going to change that this evening. By His power, by His strength, I will start reading His word. We're going to give you an opportunity to make that commitment before Him this evening. I will promise you one thing. Like I said, I didn't know Betty, and I still don't. So when I say if, I'm not discrediting her salvation. You'll understand what I'm saying. But if Betty really is in the presence of God this evening, I promise you, she did not do it by not spending time here. God was her authority in her life. and she lived it out, no matter the cost. Remember, we're not here to please Mark. You fill in your name. It's not why I'm here. The Bible says I'm to die to my flesh. I don't even have to agree with it. I don't even have to agree with it. I certainly should never change it. Brother Reuben told me a story of a pastor from Ecuador that was here. He needed a translator. He's preaching at a church, and he told the church what came out of his mouth, and Reuben knows this because he can understand Spanish, right? He said, "If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you are not saved." The interpreter told the church, "If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you might not be a Christian." Is that what we're doing to God's word when we tell others? Change it just a little bit so it's a little bit more appealing. We got to stop that. And we need to share the truth. Because the truth is what sets me free. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you right now. Lord, you know each heart. Father, I pray that every person here would make your word final authority in their life, Lord, that they would covet to obey it, to spend time in it. Lord, that's my desire this evening for my life. Read it to my children. To wash my wife in the word, Lord. To teach the word. Never changing. Never dumbing it down. But just to preach and teach and live the truth. Would your Holy Spirit move this evening, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's stand again.